bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Matt Estensen, Brennan Riker behind the glass. It is a Viking We Chant BPE edition here for hour number one as we go all the way up to 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock over on Double T97.3, it's Tech Talk with Aaron Dickens and Dr. Mike Gustafson. Not ground-shaking breaking news or anything like that worthy. We did have some news today for Texas Tech football. Joey McGuire announced earlier today restructured titles within the personnel department, led by James Blanchard, who will now assume the role of general manager. Brian Nance will move into his old position of director of player personnel, while Sean Kinney will take over as director of scouting. And, you know, this has clearly been a couple of years now, or not a couple of years, just a year, where you've seen instant momentum. But you can say a couple of off seasons, right? Because you have that early mid-season, late-season hiring of Joey McGuire, and you get to kind of catch up recruiting in off-season number one, and now you have a full off-season with your entire staff, how you want to do it. And they have had an approach and have embraced, and this is something that I think also sets them apart with some of the success you've seen already in the recruiting landscape, where they treat this more like a NFL approach to scouting and offering scholarships and recruiting, and really let some of those like position coaches coach the position and focus in on that. And there's like, hey, you're the developer, we'll bring some of the talent to the table. And so far it's gone really, really well. But this is just, you know, again, nothing ground breaking, earth shattering, anything like that, but you've seen a restructured title announced today for Blanchard, Nance, and Kinney. Texas Tech, every time we talk to you, so we don't get to see you every single day. What, three Fridays away from kicking off the season with Wyoming? You're about to see the AP poll be released on Monday. Where are they? Or are they?
20 to 25.
No, I want a a number. I want a precise number. I'm a weird mixture of words.
22. Actually, change that. I feel like 23 just keeps sticking in my head. 23, final answer.
Beep. Okay. Brennan, you remembering that?
What's going on?
Never mind.
Okay. I will remember for you, and
said,
if I'm
you
wrong.
You said 23.
Yeah. As we get closer, now you were a, correct me if I'm wrong, 10-2 guy, correct? Just making sure. It's been a while since we've talked about it. Still there? Still high on the season? Any drop back?
Part of me wants to do a 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 9-3 would be where I guess that I'd feel comfortable, because I think the Oregon game, and I have us originally winning the Oregon game. That's the jump start we need. Mm-hmm. I think.
So in your 10-2 originally before 9-3, because in that 10-2 you beat Oregon.
Oregon.
Who was the two?
K-State.
Okay.
And I have to go pull up my. And I
threw you off.
No, I didn't have it on. I thought I had it on here. I know I had us going down to K-State and losing.
K-State.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. Well, not going down, but going down to the losing of K-State. Man, I don't think it wasn't Baylor.
So you have Texas on the road at the end. You're beating on Texas, the road at BYU.
Beating BYU.
UCF comes to town.
Beating all the new teams.
Beating all the new teams.
Yeah.
Is it TCU at home?
Man, I wish I could find it. Hey, good. I should have had it pulled up. 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it. I want to say it was TCU. I had us TCU. Yep, because I had us losing to the perp.
Boy, that, both gross. Perp. Double gross. Man, that would hurt, because that's an interesting discussion where if you go, you do the old game where I say, hey, you give me 10-2 right now. Absolutely, sign me up for that. I don't even have to see the results in any combination. Give me 10-2, and then you actually break it down, like what that would look like, and losing two home games would suck when you're going to the on the road to Baylor, and when you're going on the road to Texas, which would be
the closer big we get. I would feel comfortable switching my TCU loss with the Oregon loss, but still it'd be two home games. But I
would rather, if you're playing that game, 100,000,000,000,000,000% would rather lose to Oregon in week two at home in a non-conference matchup than drop that TCU game on a Thursday night.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to lose at all, of course, but you don't want to lose right any farther into the season. You want to fire strong towards the end.
But I also, I mean, if you're one loss in conference, surely you are in Arlington, right? Yeah. One loss in conference play. And what a huge, talking about momentum in any sort of way, if you were to reach. I don't think, by the way, let me just, I'm not a 10-2 guy.
Oh, huh. Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me. I mean, I'm not
how
that.
Dare
I'm,
you.
I'm not that far off.
Are you an 8-4 guy?
I've been a 9-3 guy.
Okay.
I've been a 9-3.
We can stay friends at 9-3, but 8-4.
So it's not like mine's like 10 wins. You're crazy. But I feel like at 9-3, I may be on a little bit of the hopium side, to quote Aaron Dickens, a little bit. But if you went 10-2 in any combination, clearly, I mean, you have taken massive, massive strides. And even with two conference losses in that combination, you're still knocking on the door with Arlington. You're playing the game of what did everyone else do around me? What are the tiebreakers and all of that good stuff? But if you're doing the, hey, you go 10-2 this year, and you get the choice. You're losing to Oregon or you're losing to TCU.
Give me
the Oregon loss.
Is your three losses, is it Texas, Oregon, and then K-State or Baylor?
I have you right now, which we'll do our official as we get closer here on the bottom line. We'll go through all of our official, and we'll also pick as a show Texas Tech schedule. I have you dropping that Oregon game.
Okay.
In a close one, I have you breaking the streak against Kansas State and a win, but a letdown game at BYU on the road.
No way.
That we keep on talking. Is BYU the best team in the Big 12? Are they the best of the newcomers this year? No. But is that a tough place to play? You betcha. And is that going to be a bad team? No. It's not going to be a bad BYU team. They're going to be solid. And the other thing you have to think of too is, what do you look like on the road? Because last year, what did you look like on the road?
Sure.
I mean, you weren't getting blown out, but those were your letdown games. We're constantly on the road, and that's why I don't love, as of right now, I don't love that Texas one either. So that's those are my three losses.
So Oregon, BYU, Texas.
And Texas.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would be tough to lose the last game of the season, especially if that was your only two losses. Again, two losses.
Now, we'll, like I said, we'll officially put that to pen to paper as we get closer to the season. But, hey, knocking on the doorstep. You can go ahead and give us your predictions at any time for the season. We'll always take those on the 8th Florida Center chat line. Let's get in a play of the day.
So, Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He breaks.
He's the worst.
Touchdown, Red Raider.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Michael Crabtree has done it.
I'm here for it. Any specific reason?
No specific reason, except 22 days until Texas Tech football. You know,
almost
good
broke,
vibes.
Almost broke my leg when that play happened, just so you know.
No joke.
Yeah.
Jumping up for joy or what?
Yeah, and I was, you know, might have had a little liquid courage in me. And kind of slipped at the stadium. Yeah, incredible moment there. But yeah, we were out there, I think, like fifth, sixth row, like 40-yard line. Yeah, incredible. Just the atmosphere was amazing.
Last time you had a 10-win season?
I don't know. I just looked forward.
What is that?
08?
Yeah, that was the last time.
Yeah, yeah.
I just look forward. Why. This season, it's all that matters.
I hope you're right. I do. I hope you're right.
Okay.
What's the floor?
What we're on.
Okay, it's the bottom line, 100.7, the score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7, the score.
It is the Bottom Line, 100.7, the score, and 107thescore.com. We will go to the Yates Floor and Center chat line here in just a moment. Get your thoughts and comments as we round out hour number one. We'll take you all the way up to 3 o'clock today. The Astros will be in action at 6:40 here on the score at home versus the Angels, 8:40 over on Double T97.3. The Rangers will start a series at San Francisco. With Scott, Matt Estenson, and Brendan Riker, time now for a Friday edition of Kaylee's Dailies. This from Kaylee. Thanks again, Kaylee. And as always, get in your request on the Yates Flooring Center chat line for what animal you'd like to hear about. We will always pass that along, and Kaylee always nails it. Today, she said, we're going to go full circle with this daily. Fair warning, it'll be a doozy, but there is what she calls cuteness at the end. Just a quick self-brag. She'll be attending a national zookeeping conference in Akron, Ohio in September. That's awesome. Congratulations. We talked last Friday about owls for Owl Awareness Day, where I specifically talked about the snowy owl known as Hedwig, although I think I called it Hedwick.
The name that neither one of us could think
of. Perfect, yeah. This combines into the glorious announcement that the Akron Zoo recently welcomed 3 snowy owlets in part of their Saving a Species plan. Most people don't realize that when owlets and birds in general are born, they're not born with their normal feathers. Instead, they develop what's known as down feathers, which are usually gray and fluffy for warmth. As a result, these owlets look like fluffy little mistakes with their gray down feathers. Never seen the sentence fluffy little mistake before. Stealing that from Kaylee. She's crossing her fingers that she gets to meet these owlets when she visits Akron in September for the conference. P.S. She also did a book report on snowy owls in the sixth grade, which she really feels piqued her interest in terrestrial animals as well as marine life.
Cool. Have fun.
There you go. Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations, Kaylee. That'll be fun. I hope you do get to meet the snowy owlets. Kaylee?
No. Thank you.
Hit us up on the H. Florence chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions. This on the H. Florence Center chat line from Bullfighter, your friend Bullfighter. Matty Ice is the only person who will be walking into Judge Judy's courthouse with a theme song playing. Good thing he's been practicing convicting Disney grandmas for jaywalking with Disney's Guilty Party on the Wii.
Already beat it.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line question. If Oregon blasts Tech, does the fan base come back down to reality that Tech isn't as good as sold, but better than usual?
But you won 8 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd be confused by that. What do you mean come back down to reality? You should always expect your teams to improve, right? You should always expect them to get better and better, especially when you believe in the coaching and the systems that got implemented. You got the players that are there. I feel like you would be definitely a pessimist if you were like, oh, no, we're going back to old Tech days. 6 wins, that's what we're expecting next year. Like, I always want to be optimistic to start the season. So, like, yes, is 10 wins a far-fetch? 100%. Is 9-3 to me very realistic? Yes, it is. I absolutely think that. I think that there's no question that 9-3 is a realistic option for this team next year.
Well, it goes with, the production that you bring back, the experience that you have, a sound defense. Clearly, there's some things that you are trying to improve upon from last year, right? Everybody has that. But especially, it's like you know the steps that you need to take forward, right? And it seems like those things have been addressed, whether it be a personnel thing or just an identity issue. And part of that is the defense immediately got better last year. And you were one of the more experienced safety or secondary groups in the Big 12. So that's going to start. And help. You're trying to replace Tyree Wilson, right? You've done that with either some transfers or some homegrown guys that you're producing, and it's going to be a replace by
committee.
Also, your interior defensive line is really good. Now, I think you have dudes for interior linebackers as well, but on defense, that's the biggest question because it seems more of a who will it be in the end? Who's going to be that next inside linebacker that kind of takes charge of that spot? Because you've rolled through some good ones, and really, that's been one of your more solid positions, not just defensively, but throughout the squad, throughout the team over the past 10 years. Now, offensively, you're going, okay, the offensive line, you've got a lot of starts there now, and you got some guys either coming here as a fresh face or coming back from injury that you didn't actually get to see last year. It seems like you have a great group, a really good group.
Yeah. Well, you've moved some guys around, too, to hopefully produce better at the offensive line.
And you know McGuire has, I mean, he's preached this year about how much better that group is going to be. I believe him, but you still need to see it, right?
Correct.
And then you have an entire wide receiver room that's kind of the same question to me from the inside linebacker, right? You have expectations this year with Jaren Bradley, right? That's why he's a preseason All-Big 12er. But then we haven't even talked about this year Miles Price, who was supposed to be the dude last year. Now, his situation was a little bit different, right? Because he's dealing with injuries, so he didn't get the full flash in the pan. That should help. You have Dre McCray coming in, who is going to be a speedster, hoping that that's the guy that can take top off the defense. And then you haven't even gotten into, like, Loic Fungi or Nehemiah Martinez, who was great for you last year. You have, to me, one of the better running backs, a top five running back in the Big 12 in Taj Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going hand in hand with that improved offensive line, already pretty good the past couple of years with pretty bad offensive lines. And hopefully all this equals into also helping out that tight end room where you don't have to keep them in or chip with them as much and give them some more production as needed. But it all falls in on the quarterback, right?
The returning quarterback. Yeah.
So you get into if you lose this Oregon game, and the question being, would you come back down to reality? Well, it depends on what your reality is, right? Like, what is the floor for Texas Tech? Because I'm a 9-win guy, but I also think I might be at the ceiling. Like, is the floor 6 wins? What does reality mean to you, right? Like, can you be seen as taking another step forward if you have another 8-win season? I think you can. Just depends on what it looks like.
I think the way you lose matters too, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Oregon came in here and drummed Texas Tech 65-20, you'd be like, okay, well, we got some stuff to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But if Oregon came in here and yet you still lost and it was a, 45-43 game or something within a 5-point swing, you'd be like, man, we could have had that one, right? Mm-hmm. We're there. So I think a lot of it, you know, to answer his question, come back down to reality would be, for me, would be if, like I said, Oregon came in here and just drummed us and said, no, y'all got some stuff to work on. And I don't think that's going to happen, for the record. I don't. I originally picked us to win that game.
I would be really disappointed and a little shocked.
Shocked would be big for me. I'd be shocked.
If you just had an absolute no-show. Part of it because, I mean, Oregon's not coming in as some world beater over there.
It's not
that's
Georgia.
That's a really good team. Probably going to be a top 10 team when they get here, right? I'm not trying to take that away from them, but you played so well against really good teams at home last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if you are taking that next step forward, no, I get it. Like, you have to go do that, right? Experience is great. Returning production is great. But are you actually taking those steps forward? Like, if you're the exact same team as last year with the exact same problems and the exact same faults, then you're going to go, okay, that was disappointing to see, right? Like, if you are letting games slip away on the road next year, that's going to be disappointing.
Correct.
If you are turning the ball over in the passing game a lot, or you can't blame it on couldn't protect the quarterback, so he was throwing a bunch of picks because he had a dude in his face every single play, or he was just making flat-out bad reads, which, depending on the quarterback in the carnival last year, the carousel last year due to injury, if you're seeing some of that, then you're going to go, okay, that was disappointing. That was, if that's the version of coming back to reality, which I don't expect, then yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. A big if, and really, really for every team, but for Tech, if players stay healthy, I think we have a really good chance at having a really successful season.
We get this, if a top 10 team isn't a world beater, what is? They're not the Georgias. They're not the Alabamas.
I don't consider really any team outside of Georgia as just world beaters. I mean, that's a team you line up and you're like, oh, these are the boys.
That is a similar roster last year that lost to Oregon State.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Oh, I've missed that sounder, Jamie. I have missed it. It is a Friday here on the Bottom Line. We've been going through training camp, summer camps, OTAs, all of that for blind projections, but we're here for preseason picks now, which is great. Clint Scott, Jamie Lynn, Brendan Riker. It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score. Of course, these picks will not go into an official record, much like NFL preseason, anything like that, exhibition matches. But if we're going to be in as close to form as possible here in a few weeks, we got to start now on Fridays, right?
Sure we do, Clint.
Your smile really disappeared, by the way, as soon as you heard that. Are you firing, Brennan?
Play that button. Come on. Yeah, I don't care. No, come on. What about that? It could happen. Good chance it could happen.
Let's get into it. Happy Friday, Jamie. How are you doing today, man?
Doing terrific-o.
Cereal. Mm-hmm. Terrific-o. Let's start with some preseason football, shall we? Really muscle memory, Jamie, right? That's what we're working for. We'll start out. We will have this game tomorrow. It is the first time you can hear live snaps this season for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be taking on Jacksonville in Dallas. It is a 3 o'clock start time for pregame coverage over on Double T 97.3. Jamie, with all of the in-depth breaking down of preseason action and the games and the way it could go all the way from whoever's playing first, second, third, fourth quarters, who walks out with the win, the Cowboys or the Jaguars?
I am going to take Jacksonville because Trevor Lawrence has more hair than Dak Prescott.
Okay, that's a good pick, good analysis. Brennan, who are you taking, the Jags or the Cowboys?
I'll take the Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, give me a big... A big day from Deuce Vaughn. So really, it's going to be the second quarter swing here. I'll take the Cowboys over the Jaguars. How about a battle for Los Angeles? It all goes down in L.A. on Saturday. Chargers at the Rams. Brennan, who and why?
I'm going to go with the Chargers. Why? Because the lightning bolt would kill a Ram.
I will take the Rams because I hate the Chargers. Analysis.
I will take the Chargers because Clint hates them.
How about a battle from the AFC? Two historic teams go head-to-head, one breaking in a rookie quarterback, one trying to make it to a Super Bowl, and it starts here, week one of preseason. The Colts at the Bills. Give me the Bills. I don't think the Colts are good on any level. Doesn't matter on the depth chart.
I'll take the Bills because I'm a red-blooded American and they're red, white, and blue. Let's go.
You know, if a Colt bleeds on the field, they'll be red, white, and blue too.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of bleeding.
Bloodshed and preseason action. Hard nose. Tough hits.
I'm going to go with the Colts.
Bring your own grit. Hey, the Chiefs are at the Saints. Kansas City or New Orleans? Jamie?
Again, I'll take the Saints. Just in the hope that that'll make Clint's day worse and the Chiefs lose.
It's not gonna bother me in the preseason.
Whatever.
Will I say go ahead and cut every single third or fourth stringer you have and start over? Sure. Brennan?
Give me the Chiefs.
That's a good call, Brennan. Yeah, give me the Chiefs. Let's get into some picks with some heft here, shall we? This might help you. Turn that frown upside down. Let's go to the majors. We'll have this series again starting tonight here on the score. 640 Astros at home versus the Angels, interdivision matchup there. How many games did the Astros win, Brennan?
One.
Ooh, just one. I will say, I'll give me two for the Astros. I don't think it's a sweep, but I think that they win the series.
I will take two Astros victories as well.
It was the ballerina pick. 2-2. Hey, glad you're here, man. Let's go to the Rangers series.
We're just coming up with new ways to make this miserable.
Rangers are in San Fran, staying on the West Coast there. Give me the Rangers for two wins as well. I'll say series win over San Francisco. Jamie, how many wins are the Rangers get?
One for the Rangers.
And the Astros would be one game closer after the weekend.
That is accurate.
That's math. B-Dog?
I will go with one as well.
Okay. Shun the non-believers. Let's go to slam ball, shall we? Have you been watching it all?
No.
Okay, perfect. The Wrath will take on the Griffins tomorrow night. Jamie, who you got?
The Wrath?
The Wrath.
That's a dumb name.
But the Griffins was a good name?
Griffins isn't. Do the Griffins jump over a Kia to score?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll pick them then.
Brennan was actually doing research on slam ball earlier because I checked with him. Yeah.
He doesn't believe it's a real sport?
No, I thought that main event pick meant who was going to win out of the 100.7 to score Olympiad.
Don't give anything away. Wrath or Griffins?
I'll take the Wrath.
Yeah, I'll take the Wrath as well. They seem a little more angry.
I think you're going to get the Wrath, Brennan.
Define Wrath. Is there another? Can you use that in a sentence?
No, I can't.
He's going to feel the wrath of the rat tail. The wrath tail, if you will. Same court, same night. The Mob are taking on the Rumble.
Doubleheader. Oh, man. Are they clearing the stadium in between games? Or just
hey,
one ticket?
Show me your
get
ticket.
Get you in for the whole session.
That's just Wrath versus Griffins. You got to move.
You have to get up. That's disappointing.
Give me the Mob to stay undefeated.
What are we doing
against
here?
The Rumble? Jamie?
I'll take the Rumble.
But it's actually my team, and I haven't believed in them all
year.
Oh,
you have not?
I haven't performed very well.
You're
Brennan,
such
are
a
you
pessimist?
The Rumble fans are the Bills fans of slam ball. That's what they say.
Okay. Mob? What? Why? Why would you name your team the Mob?
Why do we have to question all the names? You just pick and go on.
I'll go with the Mob, but good lord.
Wow, anger. All right, so. As we all know in slam ball, there are four games, and the winners move on to play each other every time we get together. So I need a winner. For you, it would be between the Griffins and the Rumble, Jamie.
Yeah, I'll take the Rumbles. Rumble-stiltskins.
Brennan?
I'll go with the Wrath.
Give me the Mob. I'll stick with them. rolling, Jamie. They're absolutely rolling early on in the season. Last but not least, AP poll will come out on Monday before we reconvene and look at our expert aced picks here for some preseason blind projections. Where does Texas Tech come in the AP top 25? Brendan, you're up first.
21.
I'll take 22.
I'll take Michael Jordan.
There you go. We will obviously pay attention to every game because we are very invested in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And it is preseason, so there could be some slips, some falls, some things we clearly need to work on, and we will improve on those by the time Tech season gets here.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I should have given you the chance to call in flip-flop again.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Friday. Hopefully you've got a great weekend in store. Hopefully not too much work on the agenda. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brendan Riker. And if you do have work on the agenda, hopefully it goes by smoothly for you.
That Clint, whatever you've got, I don't got it.
That's true. I don't think we share the same plans this weekend. Unless...
We do not. I am not going fishing.
Okay.
So I assume that you are.
That is in the mix this weekend. I'm running out, out of weekends.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It's going to be steamy. Still be fun. You can hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, answers to take versus take questions, or answer to Jamie's question of the day.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
All right.
Except it is Jamie this time.
It is Jamie.
Brendan's confused. Brendan's on a track meet
the
back
show,
there because he can't
reading,
find.
Take versus taken as Clint in parentheses.
He's just.
Hang on. Wait. Let's.
He's
let's,
just firing shots on his way out the door.
Yeah, he's just hitting everything he can.
Let's try this again.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
Wow, that was great.
You are full of so much salty sarcasm. It brightens my day when you put shade on another. Your clouds are my sunshine, Jamie Lynn.
That's great. Okay, I'm going to ask you a start, bench, or cut question today.
Okay.
And it's going to involve Red Raider football offense. Here are your three players. Start, bench, cut. Tyler Shuck, Taj Brooks, Jaren Bradley. So look at this as if you did these things, could the team still survive?
Yeah. Oh man, that's a good one. I'm going to start Taj Brooks because as excited as I am to see Cameron Valdez, I think you've got guys back there too, just as a unit and as a group that the coaching staff believes in. It's just you haven't seen it really at all yet. And so if I look at the gap between depth to the starter there, I think there's a bunch. And I think Taj Brooks is going to have a really, really good year and going to help provide balance with the running game to that passing attack. So I'm going to start Taj Brooks. I'm going to bench Tyler Shuck because I would still want him for a full season. I don't particularly want to just run around with just Baron Morton, even though I think as a backup, I think he is just as close. I think he's really close to Tyler Shuck. But I don't want to just cut him off of the roster and find out. I'm going to cut Jaren Bradley because I think the wide receiver room is really deep, right? And still with Bradley, I guess projections of what he's going to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
You still don't know if that's for sure, right? You still don't know if that's going to work out? Or just offensively, is it going to be a, you know, pick a guy that you're excited about in the wide receiver room? Probably starts with him. Is it going to be, hey, here's a 1,000-yard receiver, and then here's some 600 guys? Is it going to be that, or is it, hey, this guy had 800, this guy had 800, you know, some more balance like that? How do the tight ends play in this year? Stuff like that combination. I think you could actually get away with more offensively without Bradley than you could Shuck or Tosh Brooks.
I'm conflicted because I just think about quarterback play and how important it has been to you to have a healthy quarterback past couple years. I'm going to say start Tyler Shuck, and then I'm going to bench Tosh Brooks and cut Jerron Bradley. I think right now quarterback play is extremely important, and I think you'll finally get to see full. We've seen him a bit, but I think this season you'll get to see full Tyler Shuck and what he can bring to this offense at the quarterback position.
Okay. I think you guys are making a lot of sense with the things that you're saying. I am going, but I don't necessarily, that doesn't mean that I'm going to pick the same as you guys did. I'm going to start Tosh Brooks. I think of the three, you have the least amount of depth behind him, mm-hmm. that, like, yep. you said, Clint, is not a drop-off. So I think I'm going Tosh to start. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets difficult for me. I am in the belief that you just got to have a dude at wide receiver. I mean, a guy that leads the charge.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell me all day long there's good depth and you got five or six guys who are all really good. But I just think you need a guy. And I think Bradley is the guy. And so I'm going to bench him. And the reason that I feel like you can cut Tyler Shuck is because I don't think there's a big gap behind him in quarterback and Baron Morton. The one thing that makes me change my mind on that, though, is if Tyler Shuck is hurt and Baron Morton is now the starter, man, you're one play away from, you know, freshman coming in there. Mm-hmm. You're and also I think the play calling changes a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where you can't use some of his running ability or whatever. You have to really play it a little bit more safe. And so I totally could be talked into Tyler Shuck being the benched and Bradley being cut, but I go a little bit differently. I guess I'm just saying if I'm not worried about injuries, mm-hmm. I think Baron Morton would do just as well as Tyler Shuck. So that's why I feel like you can drop him to the cut slot,
mm-hmm.
even though I think very highly of him as a quarterback.
I can buy what you're selling because I do agree with you need a dude. I guess what I see with the wide receiver room is when I'm thinking of depth, I think you've got guys that could potentially be number one wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I think it starts with Jerron Bradley, but if you get a fully healthy Miles Price, like we've just like forgotten the hype that we had around him last year coming into the season. Now, sure. Different stuff, different build, different asset, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dre McCray, same thing. Loic Fungi was injured a bunch last year. We're excited about him. Like, I think there's potential to fill that dude role as well. Clearly, and I'm not taking away anything from Bradley because I'm just as excited about, as everyone is, that's rooting for the Red Raiders. I just think you have other options there. And in the Big 12, we've been shown, not just through your own situation from the quarterback spot, but from a bunch of people, a bunch of teams in the Big 12 know you need to have not just your one set, but you need to have your backup set too. Because how many backups have we seen in the Big 12 over the last 5 years? The number has been
sure.
a lot.
Yep.
And so I would rather have that room set.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, but. Yeah. So what you think on the 8-4 Center chat line? Good question there from Jamie. Someone said, cut is so harsh. How about start bench redshirt?
Yes, there you go. There you go. Okay, I like it. I agree, because I don't think any of those guys don't deserve even being talked about as a cut. Yeah. But, and again, I mean, if you look at the three of them, the one that probably has the least chance to be a big-time impact player in the NFL is Taj.
Yeah.
But we're looking at him as the start guy because mm-hmm. you just don't have as much depth behind him.
Speaking of that, you see Sir Roderick get some carries last night with Seattle?
I did not, but that's good news.
Yeah, I think three official ones in the book. He had like a 15-ish yard run that picked up a first down that got brought back with a hold two. I don't know if he's making the roster.
Well,
because
I hope
on
that
the depth,
guy got cut.
Yeah, cut that guy. he's very, as far as entering the season, he's way, way down on the depth chart. But who knows? I think Sir Roderick Thompson could be a good backup running back in the NFL, mm-hmm. depending on how you use him. But
yeah, I can see that.
He was in action last night.
Versatile guy.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Does a decent job blocking in the backfield as well.
Yeah. It is the bottom line.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker, live from the First United Bank studio. Feel free to hit us up on the H Corner Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that. Welcome there. It's time now that we have the opportunity, Jamie, you and I, and our fine listening audience, to tell young, fired Brennan, the ghost of Brennan, that he's wrong.
Well, go ahead.
You're wrong.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know if fired employees get to ask questions.
We should have got him to get the Donald Trump liner quote out where he tells people in that reality TV show back in the day.
You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just have you for that.
Yeah, I don't really do that. It's more fun to threaten to watch them score.
See the shocked looks on their faces?
Yeah, there you go. All right, ask us a good one, Brennan, and maybe you can keep your job.
All right, my statement.
I hope it's something against the Yankees.
The Big 12 will not have a Heisman Trophy finalist this season. Tell me I'm wrong.
So the Big 12 will?
The Big 12 will not have a Heisman finalist this year.
Hands parred for Heisman. Man, I'm not gonna tell you. I don't think you're wrong. I'm very disappointed that I don't get to say that you're wrong. And the reason is I think you have a conference that's gonna beat each other up this year. Just from who I think like Heisman voters or national media. Let me give you a very clear here. National media would love to see in New York. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to be there.
Quinn Ewers is the one guy.
Yeah.
If Texas goes 10-2, he's there.
I don't think you have a TCU Duggan situation on your hands. This year, I don't foresee someone knocking on the doorstep of the college football playoff from the Big 12. I just don't see that sort of player in the conference that's going to have the right mix of talent, excitement, and winning. And that's the key is winning. I just don't think the conference is – I just don't think it has a team with separation. Now, like I said, I didn't think that last year, and – TCU and Max Duggan technically did do that, or not technically, flat out did that, but I'll be more shocked this year if something like that happens. Like, I just think you're going to have very well-rounded teams, and when you look at, like, whoever ends up in Arlington, I think you have a few losses there, and you're looking at, like, a team like a K-State, like, okay, well, who's the standout Heisman guy? Like, I think it's just going to be really good teams that are there at the end instead of just, boy, there was the human highlight reel all year in the Big 12 sort of guy.
I think Quinn Ewers is the one guy that I think has a shot. I think, again, you've got to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your team has to win a lot of games. And more times than not, you've got to be the quarterback for that team. He's the one guy. I just mm-hmm. think K-State is, they just don't do that. They're too balanced. So, yeah, I'm going to say, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to say you're right, Brennan. Because of that, you get to keep your job.
Mm.
Take that, unemployed Brennan. We've just seen Clint right here in front of us in the Little League World Series. The worst uniforms in the history of Little League World Series action.
These Pennsylvania ones?
The front of their jersey says media.
Where is Media Pennsylvania at? I didn't know there was a media. It looks like they're like, I got ready to check in. I'm here to take pictures. Or, hey, where's the booth at?
Where do I get my press pass? Yeah. Media.
How about that? Media Pennsylvania.
It's poor people.
It was 85 degrees there right now in Media Pennsylvania.
I was wondering what the temperature was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Three zip codes there in Media Pennsylvania, 19063, 19065, 19091. In the 2020 U.S. Census, the population was 5,991, so just a few ticks under 6,000 there in Media Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
Area code 61048.
Make him stop, Brennan.
It is a borough in the county seat of Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
You could have saved all this stuff for most interesting fact of the day.
It's located 13 miles west of Philadelphia. 13 miles west of Philadelphia is where I was born.
Poor people.
Mm.
Can never trust anybody from media.
Yeah. Good for them. Yeah, and
they'll have a hidden agenda.
It's just like even the number is on the belly and to the left on the front. What's up with that? That's strange. That is strange. This on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. It's a good point. Come on, guys. Tech has a fantastic year, and Tyler Shuck is in New York. If I power
so ranked, how fantastic would it have to be?
It would have to involve Tech winning the Big 12, and it would have to be what you would expect number-wise from a Kittley-esque offense, and he would have to be there. I mean, what you would expect. He'd have to be there all season long. You'd have to win the Big 12 for it to happen, though.
I think it would take Tech getting to 10 wins.
I think that's part of it, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
If that happens, I absolutely think Tyler Shuck should be there.
Because.
Yeah, but I don't think 10 wins will happen.
Part of it, too, is you have to have yes, the wins are there, but in those wins, you have to have the quote unquote Heisman moments, right? And so those Heisman moments are going to happen in that scenario. In some sort of combination early against Oregon or mid-season against Kansas State, mid-season against TCU, and even then at the end there at Texas. Like, you're going to have those not just wins, but he had an impressive performance and was a reason you won. This is what I think is going to hold Quinn Ewers back, to your point. And I just don't think there's going to be this massive improvement from Quinn Ewers, because he played with talent last year, and he played with one of the best college football running backs you've seen in quite a while.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally inconsistent.
Yep.
I know he was injured, but even then, whenever he came back, I still think you had the better quarterback who's now at Purdue in Hudson Card. I think he better watch out this year with Malik Murphy behind him if they go on some sort of bad run. What's going to hold him back is Texas can get to 9 wins. Heck, Texas could get to 10 wins. But if he's playing games like they did against Oklahoma State along the way, he's not in New York.
Yeah, where he was really bad.
Yes, really, really. There is a very inaccurate, very bad side that you saw of Quinn Ewers. Is the talent still there?
Yeah.
Sure, but...
But that was when he couldn't see because of his haircut.
Right, right. He's all business now.
Yes.
There's no party in the back. It's business in the front, business in the back, which is just lame. So boring. And so, and that's where I think, like, you know, you see the extra expectations that are on Texas this year. And I say the extra expectations because the Big 12, right, has picked them to win. That hadn't happened in like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the national media expectations, because that's always there. They're so waiting for Tucker back. All of it is focused in on Quinn Ewers taking not just a step forward, but a giant step forward from what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's there. Maybe I'll be here eating crow come December. Maybe that will happen. But, man, the quarterback whisperer, Steve Sarkisian, better be like yelling in his ear this offseason,
sure,
and not just whispering.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.